for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 30th, 2004. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tom Stone, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, is the speaker. Tom Stone and Diane have been members here at Lake Hamilton for quite a long time. Tom has ministered here several times for us, and the Lord's anointed him to minister, and he's going to bring us the word this evening. Tom Stone.
It's a different tonight because I've never preached at camp, so I'm not shy, but I want to let you know this is the first night I ever preached at a camp meeting. It's all the same, and I see so many people here that I fell in love with. I'm kind of like Glenn. I just hate to see you leave. I mean, our congregation comes down to Doc, Brother Glenn, myself, and my beautiful wife, and Patty and Kevin and Ronnie, and just the camp people, and Crystal, and Maury, and just the home folks.
And a wonderful pianist.
Our wonderful pianist, yeah, Jane and Benny. And so, it's a blessing to see you guys come on camp meeting. And I'll tell you what, I had dreams long, long time ago that I would be able to have something like this of my own. But, you know, a lot of times the finances don't come to you to where you can have a situation like this. And I think we're really blessed to be able to offer, especially through Brother Glenn, that you would come and minister to. And as you come and be ministered to, you minister to us. Because you strengthen us when we see that the Holy Spirit has touched you and is moving in your life and it's reimbursing us. And especially Brother Glenn, because you can imagine over 30 years, how many thousands of people came through this place on camp after camp after camp and is back doing what the Lord's business. And that's what I pray for you folks tonight, that you are being converted into the likeness of Christ, that your anointing could come off of us to you and keep going. And that's the whole thing that we desire and I desire. Not being Tom Stone, but as a Christian. And I'm not a pastor, I'm a Christian. I want to live in Jesus, I want to work in Jesus, I want to operate by the words that He tells me. And so we have to die to self and open up our spiritual antennas, our ears right here, to hear what God has to say to you at the proper time. And I pray a spirit of timing over you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift this congregation up to you right now that the timing will be proper in their lives, that the voice of the Lord would come to them and they would know without a doubt, without fear, without anything that the Lord is speaking to them at the proper time. And Lord, I pray a spirit of wisdom and knowledge over them that would guide the zeal that's placed in them. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Because I know that we're going from a high time to a low time, because every time we come to camp, oh man, you see so many people, you could talk and you can relate to one another. You know what the Lord has delivered me from? And you go out there and try to tell somebody on the street corner and you're a crazy fool. Have wisdom when you go back. Let God deal with you who you tell. Because I don't want no one in this room to be crushed. I used to be a wild banshee on the street. What? You want to know about Jesus Christ? You want to be introduced? And you know, my zeal went before the Lord. And we could kill what God's placed in us if we don't understand and go by the Word of the Lord. So we have to be converted. We have to be converted. And I'm going to tell you something. At the ripe old age of gray hair, it's hard to be converted. And I thank God for the gray hair. Because even in the gray hair stage, you could be used of God.
Amen.
Because you're a little bit slower. You take time. You don't have seen where all the young people have gone. Because you've been there. You had the hard knocks. You had the whippings. But now, the oil needs to drip off of you onto somebody else. And I pray that that balm of Gilead would be poured upon you to restore you, to replenish you day by day. You know, as what the Lord gives you, you need to pour out. And I pray that you have a place to pour it out. A special one. A one-on-one basis. Because that's usually the way the Lord wants to work with us, is on a one-on-one basis. Not everybody gets the opportunity to get behind the pulpit and preach to a large assembly. That's a gifting and it's a pleasure. But it's not, you know, I may be there one day on a permanent basis. I don't know. But I'm going to wait on the Lord to tell me. You know, I've been assistant pastors of church, but I'm not looking for a title. I want to be the Son of the Living God. Especially the manifested Son of the Living God, because life comes to people that you minister to. And if we have that life in us, whoo, glory. I feel Him working in me. I'm trying to contain this zeal that's, you know, has been shut up in me for so long that I say and speak the words of life to you tonight. Because I don't need to be in the flesh. I don't need to be out bird walking. I need to be about the Lord's business. And He's saving. He's delivering. And He's healing. Because there's many needs. You know, you can just look across here and you can see a single individual sitting there and they're hurt, they're lonely in many areas. And some of you are married, but your wife or your spouse or your husband is not here. And oh, you desire them to be here and to receive and to impart or have some things that's imparting to you. And some of you are alone. And God needs to meet every one of those needs. He needs to heal us from the inside out and from the inside out. Outside in, inside out, both directions. And He can, and He will. You know, I've sat and listened to many of your testimonies of how the Lord ministered to you. And that's beautiful. How beautiful are those words? Because it encourages me. Yes, and He's ministered to me many times. I've felt the electricity. I've felt the words. And I want to just share one of the times that the Lord ministered to me. I was coming from Parable to Bryant to do a siding job. And I'm going to stop right there for a moment. But my wife had received a dream that I was going to be in a car wreck 3 months in advance. She didn't tell me. And I got kind of bothered about that after she told me. But anyway, we was going along, and I had two of the church members and the church, guys that was we was doing the siding job, and we was tooling along there, and we had an open Bible. You know, you have King James, you got Thompson's Change, you got NIV, you got all kinds of different Bibles. But we had a Nelson's Thompson Open Chain Bible, and in the back of it, it's got the history of how the apostles were killed or died. And it wasn't kind of fun on some of those occasions. Drugged to death, you know, butchered, and even John was boiled, and they couldn't even kill him that way. But lo and behold, we didn't know it. But we was just about to meet the same fate. We turned the corner, and I seen this car coming at us, and all of a sudden I didn't see the driver, and I said, "Lord," in my mind, I said, "Something's going on." So I started pulling over, and I then got down to about 30 miles an hour, and here he come about 60 miles an hour and swooped the curve, headlight for headlight, boom. And all I had time was to say, "Here I come, God." Because it ain't no time to repent. I mean, you know, you'd like to say, "Oh, God, you know, I repent of this, I repent of that," you know, and have this long conversation, but it's very short. Believe me, very short. And after the collision happened, and I was treated like a ping pong ball. I broke out the front windshield with my head, and then broke out the back window with my head. And one guy was crammed underneath the dash, and the other boy twisted his hips. And the car smoked, and the doors were jammed. And I rolled down the window and said, "We got to get out of here before, you know, it starts burning." And so I got the fella out from underneath the dash, and I got him out. And he was coming out. I heard his back pop, so it was put back in place. So I got him over there, and he laid down. And the other guy said, my hips are out of place, because he throwed his knee up, you know, one knee up, and it twisted him on his torso. And he had problems with arthritis anyway. And he says, I can't get out because my hips are out of place. And the zeal overtook wisdom and knowledge. I said, you're either coming out of there, or I'm knocking you out, dragging you out. You're not going to burn. But as he came down, I stood here and the car was like this, and he pressed him against the truck, and his hips hung dangling in the air, and I heard him pop and go back in place. But then, as I done that, I got him away from the vehicle, and I saw the parts falling out from underneath it in this truck. I tell you what, about breaking soul ties, this truck was an idol to me. And I had to break soul ties with that truck. And, oh man, I was down in the mouth. But leave that alone and go to... Next thing I heard was the voice of the Lord. And He said, go pray for him. I said, God, he just tried killing me. And then I didn't say no more because I knew it was the Lord's voice. He said, pray for him. And I went over and laid my hands on him. I started praying for him. And first thing out of his mouth, he says, I knew I should have a priest. I knew I should have a priest. I knew I should have a priest. And he thought I was coming over there to finish him off. And I hope it did, because I hope he came from the flesh to the spirit realm. And which I didn't see him for 2.5 years. And so one of the guys rode to the hospital with him and in the ambulance. And he was quite mouthy, and he told him where our church was. And he came looking us up. And he came and he wanted to ask, he says, I want to apologize for you losing work and losing your truck. And I said, you were forgiven from that day. And then he started telling his testimony. He says, I was running from God, but I run straight into Him. And he was stopped in his tracks, and he repented, and he accepted the office of preaching. And he got hooked up with some people and went to, and they took him to Israel. And him being of lesser stature of finances, he just stayed where he could. But he preached in the streets of Israel the name of Jesus Christ and baptized over 500 people into Christ while he was there. And he testified. And his testimony, he says he was running from Christ, but he runs straight into it. Be ye converted, because you never know the time and situation that will happen to you. But see, it's a lot to it. And a lot to being converted. You know, you're always supposed to be able to witness, but yet we got to have the Word. So I want to go to the Word. Now, first off, I want to put something in your mind, and it's not bad. I'm telling you it's not. Because we can look at the Godhead, and this classified is into minerals, and God being gold, the most precious metal that we know of, because it's worth more. Our financial system is based on gold, is it not? Now, it says, be ye converted. Now, Jesus Christ is also connected to God, but let's use Him as a silver in the Godhead. And it's the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so, you use bronze for man. And so, we are the temples where God wants to dwell. And He's wanting to convert us into the proper temple that can contain the gold. But also, at the same time, He's wanting to convert us. And I looked up in the dictionary, and Brother Doc, he says, a lot of people argue with him about the Scripture and the Bible. But you said nobody has ever argued about the dictionary. Webster. All right, Webster. But see, the funny thing, Webster was created for us to understand the Word, because of our lack of understanding about the language. Converted, change, turn. Change from unbelief to faith. Be ye converted. From one religion party to another. And I thank God that we can do things religious whether we go to church or not. You can get up and make coffee every morning religiously. You could drink one pot, two pots, three pots. And when you get to that stage, you don't drink it, and it's going to cry out, drink some more coffee. Be ye converted, you know. From the coffee. Now, here we go. It says, take and use unlawfully. So we have the Word of God, and a lot of times denominations take the Word and use it unlawfully. They are converting the Word of God. But if we are converted to the true Word of God, what happens? There's life. Life more abundantly. It says to turn the other way around. And that's to be converted. And that's repentance. That's what Jesus Christ came out of the wilderness and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means turn, to be converted. Wholeheartedly, mind, will, and emotions, physical being. And sometimes we're only healed in our minds and only saved in our minds. We need our mind, will, and emotions all saved and healed. Because in our minds we could say, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord right now, but the first time you get into battle, what comes out of our mouths and what comes into play? Our emotions. And sometimes vile words come out of here. The spirit of Antichrist. And we need to contain and control and be converted by the Holy Ghost. That blood needs to be applied to us to change us, to make the sealing really happen. You know, and not advertising earthly things, but has anybody seen that movie about the Passion or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? A lot of people have. I'm going to tell you something. It really makes you aware what God went through to do. He really died, and He really bled, and He was really beat with a rod, and He was really cut open with a cat of nine tails. And you need to understand what Christ really done. He says, transposed. And He said, here's another definition for it. Exchange for the equivalent. Now let's get over into money. A lot of times we get a bank note, and that's just a piece of paper. And it's called a dollar bill or a check. But we could take it to the bank and we could change it for what? Gold. So our first part of repentance is just a note. Now we need to be changed to gold. You know, and gold, if you take it and look at it, how God used it in the temple and the things and the ornaments and the furniture. And we need to become part of those furnitures. We need to become a fixture in God. We need to become a usable vessel. And you look at how gold is brought to being. We need to go to the gold mines, you know, to get gold. Sometimes they take a real high-pressure hose of 2,500 pounds of water. Talking about being washed. You know, and we probably sometimes we need that much pressure of the Word on us to wash us and clean us. Because some of the time, I know when I started out, I was pretty dirty, Ronnie. I was filthy. I mean, I stunk. I mean, my feet stunk, my armpits stunk. I stunk from my mouth to, I was filthy. And I need to be washed. A lot of us still, and we need to be washed every day with the Word of God. That we can come to that purity, that cleansing, the cleansing of the Word. And they take, and see, I was raised in California, and that was the gold fields and the gold rush days. And in our school, they taught us a lot about gold mining, and they showed us how different tools were used and to get this gold. And they use these water pressures, and they'd wash down whole mountains, and then we'd go gather up the fines and what was washed down. And then we'd take, and a lot of us are like that. We're on a mountain or in a crest of a rock, and trials of life all of a sudden blast you out of that hole. How many have been blasted before? I know I have. And blast you out of that hole. And He's, but you're gold. And because the Lord has put His love upon you. He's pouring out His blood for you. You're gold. You're precious in His sight. But we've got to go through a process to become and get to that being usable. So He starts this journey of being blasted from the mountain and you wash down the mountain and all of a sudden you're caught in the crevices. And then all of a sudden you get to starting thinking, man, I'm safe in this crescent. And then here we come with a big bulldozer along and picks it all up, a front end loader. And then you're taken down and then you're dumped back in the water again. And a slush box, the big slush boxes. And sometimes they vibrate like this and they, And guess what? God shakes you. Have you been shaken? Have you been shaken in your life? So this is a process of getting go. And some of us are nuggets, and some of us are pickers, and some of us are very fine pieces of gold, and then some of us are dust. But there's ways to collect all of this gold. Now, what part are you? I know, like Doc, you could turn over there and say, here's a nugget. Brother Glenn, here's another nugget. Me, I'm probably the dust. You know, and so I would rather be the lower state than the upper state, because the upper state takes more heat. And guess what? We all have to go through that basm of fire. Nobody wants to jump out of the frying pan into the fire. And when you come out from that chair over here to the leadership, guess what? There's thousands of little things that bring that heat up to refine you every time there's a situation. All of a sudden there's a tree falls on a state truck and there's a potential of a lawsuit. So, you know, this thing. But there's not going to be no lawsuit, because I'm going to speak to you. They're going to take what's offered and they're going to go with it. So here we come in this shaking. And so we get dumped in this sluice box, and in this sluice box we have ripples. And in that sluice box, then we have carpets. And we got wires. And it refines and refines and refines. The big rocks stay on top, and you can reach down there and you can say, ooh, there's a beautiful gold nugget. There's a Mark Lula's granddaughter. We pick it up and polish it. But it still needs to come from a nugget to a usable state. So then we go on down, and then we pick all the stuff off the top, and then we pick up the wire, and then we pick up the ripples, and then here's that carpet. And some carpet's got long, fine threads to it. And in that carpet, because you're gold, you sink. You go to the bottom. Because we need to go from the ankle-deep water totally submerged. And that's the reason why we've been submerged this weekend in His Spirit and His love and His body ministry. And so then all of a sudden, how many people have got their carpet yanked out from underneath them? So he jerks this carpet up, and here you are, you're stuck in this carpet, and then what he does, he sticks you back in the water and starts shaking you again. But see, then there's two elements start to come forth then. Iron, and see, all of us was iron at one time, but guess what? Iron sharpeth iron. The ones that rub you raw, it's to see how much of that gold you have in you. How many people have somebody that rubs them raw? Hallelujah. Thank you for confession. You know, first part of deliverance is forgiveness. And admitting, I got a problem. Look, God, I got a problem. This person rubs me raw. Every time I see him, I want to choke him. Thank you for those ones that rub you raw. I had a mother-in-law, or stepmother, that rubbed me raw, and I got a lot of healing from her. She was a blessing in disguise. But anyway, here we are. We've been snatched the carpet out from underneath. The rug's been taken away. Our safety place, we done it hid in the rug again. And so here we are. We come to another place of refining. And then all of a sudden we sneak underneath that iron because we don't want to be exposed. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to be brought up. We don't want to be put in the front. We don't want to be that one to fight the battle. Because we all want somebody else to fight our battles for you. Just take my hand, lead me through this, and do everything for me. But no, wrong, you know. You can't do that because you're a... Guess what? God created you in the image of Him. And He's wanting us to become usable. So back to this process of gold. Then He's... And you sneak underneath all this iron and hide. And then the gold miner, you're in this pan, and then he'll take that pan and it's all still because he's wanting to look through that clear water. And then he'll take a slap the far out of that can, and all of a sudden the gold goes to one side and the iron slides to the other. Then he goes in and he sucks the little gold up in a bottle. But see, we got all these pieces and all these separate things representing the church and representing the body of Christ. And then it gets down to the real, my note, the dust, where I think I am sometimes. And then there's even a method to get that dust up, and it's called mercury. Because gold is the only thing that sticks to mercury. And so they pour the mercury in, and it gathers all the dust. But yet it's silver. It looks silver. And then we say, well, God, then what happened? Well, we put this mercury on the heat. And anybody ever played with a thermometer or got the mercury? You know how to make mercury disappear? Get it next to heat, and it goes. The vapor. It leaves what? The gold. So then here we go again. The baptism of fire. Yeah. And see, we've been baptized in a little bit of heat, a little bit of heat, a little bit of heat. And you know, and all of a sudden, He wants to pour you into the blast of the furnace, into the forge, and put you under the forge. And the forge comes up, and all of a sudden, here we come, and we run together. But then what we do? What happens then? Well, we got this big chunk of gold, and then all it is a chunk of gold. How do you make it into usable? Well, in the old time, and they do still do it today, they start with a hammer. Have you, how many people's got beat up verbally and physically and abusive and mentally and So here God starts beating on it, tamping it out. But see, He taps it out real thin. And He wants to cover you with that gold, that you could be that instrument that God can use. But see, all these processes is called life. It's called life. And some people get treated worse than others, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a place in Jesus Christ that you could be healed. And I don't care what relationship, where you are placed in life today, you could be put in a perfectly unique family. I mean, one wife, one life, one husband, one spouse, all the time. And never be disturbed. Or you could come in and you've really had a really turmoil of washing, you know, and the thunder and the lightning and the upsetting and the unforgiveness comes in and the breaking of marriage and the separating of ways. God can heal that too. Then we have a situation of, then we come together and we find another person that we fall in love with, but God wants to heal that too. Because all the hurts and all the emotions that God sees within, I don't care what position in life you are or what position in family you are, He sees where you're at. He sees if you're the child of this thing. He sees if you're the spouse. Which one are you, the male or the female? Both people need to be healed. Both people, the children need to be healed. I'm feeling something. Thank you, Lord. But I'm telling you right now, God can heal every spot. But so many of us say, but if I had so-and-so to serve God with them, I would be in a better position. But guess what? That's not always true. Because you are you and God is God, and it's a one-on-one relationship. You have to be converted. And the way you know that you're converted is when the yearning comes in your heart to pray for somebody, whether it be salvation, healing, or our deliverance. And then you see the signs and wonders start following you. We're not looking at other people's testimonies. You're not telling nobody else's testimonies any longer. But yet we can't live on one testimony. I've heard a lot of, I went to visit a lot of churches, and some of these older saints, well, bless my soul, you know, he helped me a long time ago and touched my daughter and this and that and the other. No, it needs to be a daily thing. It needs to be a daily walk. And a fresh and new testimony. A fresh and new anointing. You know, that we can come and realize that the river of living water is flowing through us. And when we're converted, this happens. It's happened. It's the gifts of Abraham. We can't outrun it. We can't dodge it. But it's there. If we fall in line and in love with God. And if we're fooling ourselves, if we fall in love with our spouses more than we do God, because we got to rely on God even to know how to love our spouses. Because you rely on them, and it's like relying on horses and chariots. We need to love God first, and all things shall be added unto you. And then, us as men, we need to learn how to fulfill that place of the headship of a family. Know how to pray for your spouse. And then our wives need to know how to pray for our husbands. Thank God I got a praying wife. Keeps me in line. But you know something? I got tired of kicking against the pricks, so I started hitting through her prayers, and I lined up. And thank God for her. But also, at the same time, she's gotten to situations that she's gone off to the left or the right, and I said, wait a minute. Yeah. So it's a sharing thing. It's a sharing thing. Have I said anything yet that you could witness to? Hallelujah. Because you know, God's here. And I see numbers of people that's already been touched by God. And you need to be encouraged to take what you receive, the deliverance you received, and apply it in your lives. And this is, and when you apply it in your life, this is the way you're going to keep your deliverance. Because you can get delivered and walk right back into that old thing and that temper flare and the whole thing be kind of almost wiped out. Because there's a verse over there in chapter 12 of Revelation. He says he's standing there between the, right there in front of the womb. As soon as you receive the word, he's going to snatch it from you. And I want to let you know that God can sustain you through the things you're going to experience this coming week. And talk to you about going back to your home. And I want to encourage you that God touched you. Don't forget it. And pray every day. Read your Bible every day. I know that every time Brother Doc, he starts a little meeting, he hands out one of these, and it's just, what it is reading through the Bible in a year. You read 3 chapters of the Scripture a day, and you read through the whole Word. See, we've got to get the Word in us that it can be formed and formed in us. So there's a lot of processes that we have to go through, and it's not just all somebody else doing it for you. And he says he's going to judge you by your works. My work was today, I refused to get mad at that person that come stuck his nose in my business. That's a task. You have a choice. That's work. You either get mad, get back, retaliate. In the world today, you get around the worldly people and everybody's got a comeback. Yeah. You know, they live on feeding on flesh. It's like piranha. They snap at you and snap back at them. And you have a choice. And I know because I was out there. I was a very angry person at one time. And our angers need to be addressed. Our fears need to be addressed. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I've been delivered. And they just leave it at that. Wrong. Every one of us is an onion and we stinketh. A rotten onion stinketh. And we got to be... let that one layer peel off, and then another layer peel off, and another layer peel off, until we get to our hearts. And then God can work with our hearts. And, you know, thank God He's got patience. He's got a sense of humor. Because He can even cause us to laugh at our calamities once we get far enough away from them. You know. But it's not so funny when you're in the battle. But their joys come in the morning, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, are we in a new dawning? Are we far enough from our problems, our situations? Even the problems you think you're going through right now, well, he didn't pray for me right. He didn't get this. He didn't get that. Guess what? In time, God will touch you if you keep crying out. A lot of times it's got to be you cry out. Oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, I need to forgive that person. Or whoever it may be. Because maybe that might be the reason that you wasn't touched. Because you had unforgiveness in your heart. Man, it got quiet in here. That spirit of unforgiveness is a killer. It separates you. And yes, we have words of knowledge and we have this. And especially the Holy Spirit comes and ministers to us. But that unforgiveness, that's got to go. The Word says, if you don't forgive them, I will not forgive you before my Heavenly Father. And that's pretty plain. And then He says, I'll turn you over to the tormentors, chapter 18, the latter part. I don't want to be in torment. I'd rather forgive. I would rather forgive. But I done went through one back operation. I don't want to go through another. You know? And I learned a lot. And see, sometimes you're the only thermometer or barometer that you can read. What's going on in you, inside of you? Fear, frustration. If those things are going on in you, then how is your relationship with the person on your right or left or at home or on your job? Is the peace of God in you? Be ye converted. You know, in Amos, and here we had a story of for one reason, for two reasons, for three reasons, for four reasons, for five reasons, I have something against you. And Israel didn't fare so good. They had all kinds of kings put over them. And we can use a boss as a king, unforgiving boss, harsh boss, the one that's really a taskmaster that we feel is very unjust. And we could be put under that very quickly before you know it. I mean, companies are sold and changed at the whim of a day or at the close of a market day. And your safety and security could be completely turned upside down. And all these companies, they hire headhunters and they send them into your corporations and they say, either perform or leave. So any place in our lives, we can be touched about our security. We can get a hold of somebody that just wants to tinkle the phone and say, I need you right now and I'm not concerned what's going on in your life. I want you on the job right now. So God is wanting to convert us into a usable instrument that we can withstand the pressures of life. And some of us have done great, some of us haven't done so great, but the ones that hadn't done so great are going to do great on this side of Jesus Christ. As soon as they realize that they need to be anchored in the rock and converted into the likeness of Him. We need to be able to get up every morning and look into the mirror, and who do we see? Do we see some old ugly gray-haired man that is down in the mouth? Oh man, I gotta go to work. Oh man, I gotta go to work. Or do we look in the mirror and say, "Glory, hallelujah! It's a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. I think I get to go to work. I get to minister to somebody." Now, who do you think you see in the first mirror, and who do you think you see in the second mirror? We need to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And everybody that we meet every day, some of them are happy and some of them are not. Some of them have been eat up by somebody just before they've come to you, and boy, they're grumpy and they won't say anything to you. They just pitching stuff here and pitching stuff there. So we need to be able to know how to minister to those folks and tell them it'd be okay. My wife, she tickles me. She goes to school and she's a school teacher. And she tells me of some of the women that she works with. And some of them don't have a very good life. And she says, everything's going to be all right. I can just see it. I can just see the people. And they say, yeah, that's what you think. And she used to tell me that too. Guess what? Everything is okay. As long as we get hooked up. But who do we need to get hooked up to?
Jesus Christ. And so if we're converted, and so, you know, life, nobody said life was fair. I tried looking for that word fair in the Bible. I don't think I have. The only place that talked about it was one place, and David said he was a fair-looking person. And that's talking about beauty. I wasn't talking about fair, how to be treated equal or anything of that nature. Yeah, I don't either. Life don't treat me fair. But you know, as you become formed and you go through these testings and through these trials and go through the washing and through the hammering and through the hiding and through the shaking, and all of a sudden one day somebody just walks up to you and all of a sudden starts confessing everything in the world to you. And then say, what did I do? And all of a sudden you don't even realize it, but it's the God in you that they see that they need to release to. And see it. And then if you have that word and you have Him in Him, then you have the response to come back. And see, we need that response, that boom, and that word that pricks, and that word is sharper than a two-edged sword. You are God's battle axes, that you could put the axe to the root, that you have the proper... See, that axe that came off of... that axe didn't have the proper handle in it, and it was swinging it, and it slipped off the head and landed in the river. We need a handle, the proper handle, the proper tools to stick in that axe head to be able to use it properly. If you don't have the proper handle in it, it wobbles and you're going to miss the mark. So all of you are going to become battle axes whether you like it or not. There's a scripture over there, it says, God is a God of war, and you're a war whether you want to be or not. And a lot of you have seen the war and felt the war and got caught up in the war and lost the battle. Casualty. POW. Prisoners of war. MIA. Well, no, we're not MIAs because here we are. But thank God the other people are MIAs because they're missing out right here. Or in another ministry that speaks deliverance and speaks life to somebody. And you know, I was talking to one individual who said, well, how come they don't teach deliverance in the mainstream churches? God only knows. And we all know it's because the minister's afraid of their finances being cut off. The old dollar. Love of money. But we need to be set free. And so we need to be able to go back into the churches. And I know that you're going to go back and you're going to start, some of you are going to start talking to your pastors and about deliverance and stuff like this, and they're going to turn a deaf ear to you. Hold your peace. Hold on to what you've got. Because I'm going to tell you, there's going to become a time that somebody's going to come to you that's got a problem, and they're going to ask you a question, and then that's when the door opens up. See, God opens the door that no man can open, and He closes the door that no man can open. And hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to be the hinge to our hearts and the hinge to us and the one that opens the fountain that pours out the living water that day that that person is in need. Am I making sense to anybody? As I'm telling you, it's as the day approaches, and I know everybody in here's finances have been touched in some way. The day is approaching. We're not paying the same for gasoline as we was last year. Our finances are not as deep as they were last year. The day is approaching. And I pray that everyone in here, that they come to an awareness and Jesus Christ into a protection that is so sweet within Him. Because I've experienced some things that you'd say, that couldn't happen. Yes, it can. It can happen in you. One other testimony I'd like to tell you. There was a lady, and she was happened to be a far-off relative of mine, and
The Lord told me to go minister to her in the jail. And I've never been to the jail. I didn't know the proper procedures. I walked through the front door, around behind the desk, down the hall, turned the corner, the jailer standing there, opens the door, walked into the lockdown, witnessed to the person I was supposed to, knocked on the door, walked up there, and he opened the door, walked out, turned right around, walked back out, walked out of that jail. Nobody said a word to me. He opened the door and closed the door. And I pray tonight that God opens the door for you in every area of your life. Because there, everyone in here, whether you're building the prison around you, because we are the ones that put ourselves in prison. And it's time that we tear down our own bars. We tear down the gates of our jail cell. Because He gave us the keys. See, He gave us the fivefold ministry right after He snatched the keys from old Satan himself. He poured out the fivefold ministry. You may not own an office, but you can operate in an office. I probably could go to jail tomorrow, and it never happened like that. You know? Who are you? They'll probably throw me up against the wall and search me and say, you know, handcuff me, throw me in there and lock the door and throw away the key. Sometimes it don't work like that. But I'm telling you, when you hear the Lord and He tells you something, you can put it in the bank and you can walk in and walk out. So we need to have that Paul and Timothy and Peter experiences. You know, it's there. Because really, I'm just Tom Stone. I'm a carpenter. I'm a house builder. I am a nobody. But God wants to use nobodies where somebody needs help. I'm making sense to you tonight. I want to encourage you. You know, we've had a lot of teaching about all kinds of different spirits, but yet the body needs encouragement. And yes, we've had a lot of things cast out of us and said, "What's that?" Blah. And this deliverance is all about snot, tears, and vomit, it seems like. But yet it's so blessed because people can wear a smile. I can see the smiles on your faces. Hey, your dignity's coming back. I want to have fun in Jesus. Oh yeah, but sometimes the hackles get up on my back when I see somebody in distress and I see that demon just contorting them and they're trying to get away from them and they're twisting their back and they're so much in pain and they're wrenched and their skin itches and crawls and, oh God, I've been there. You know, one night a long time ago, I was right there and first came in back, I don't know, umpteen years ago. But Sister Coffee was here, and I said, "Man, I'm having troubles." And me and my wife have situations. And all of a sudden, she prayed something, and it was so quick and so fast that it felt like a corkscrew started right there. And it boom, right off the top of my head. And I don't know what it was. Don't care. Don't want it back. It's gone. But I'm telling you, it's a joy to be free of whatever it was. Thank God. You know, man, I'll tell you. The bars were tore down. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. You know, God's good. That's crazy. Woo, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. In Jesus' name. You know, even there's a word over there, and I know I'm speaking to some people here, that he says, though a man of great wrath will be put in prison many times and you have to deliver him many times. Proverbs 19:19. It spoke to me. I was that angry person and I had to be delivered. I went to a tent and this minister picked me out and boy, I tell you what, you could have struck a match off me that night. I was seething. Don't touch me. I don't want you praying for me. And all of a sudden, wham, I hit the floor and it was sawdust, Brother Doc, but
All of a sudden, I was puking and throwing up. My wife said, "Did you get it off?" She said, he said, "No." "Why didn't you get it off?" Hallelujah. And then I got to pray for her again here. And I got to pray for her again. Pray for her again. And then finally, my wife, she tried me for about a month and a half. She kept, you know, those hot buttons? You know? How many of you got hot buttons? Come on, be honest. Just about all of us, if we haven't been converted. Lord, convert me. Get out of me. But you know, and all of a sudden I came to a point I realized, I said, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fight with you or argue or whatever. Because I'm a human being. And all of a sudden, she tried for about 30 days and she couldn't find no hot button. And he says, "I believe that a person can be changed in Jesus Christ. Be ye converted." You can walk in and out of jail, into the hospital room, and speak to that person that's on deathbed, and they sit up and said, "How long have I been here?" You know, the church is not living up to its potential. And I want to exhort you to live up to the potential and Him. But open up our ears. And the way we open up our ears is read the Word. Communicate with Him. Have time with Him. You know, I used to pray, "Change them, change me." You know something? That's not the way it works. Change me. And it worked. I got an agreement over here. Hallelujah. You know, change me, God. Hallelujah. And so God is so gracious and so precious and so patient, so loving, so kind, and so much humor that it's fun to laugh at your old problems. And I guarantee you, if you keep on pressing, you're going to be able to laugh at what went on. Because you'll look back and you see how it changed you. I need to be changed. I need to be changed in the image of Jesus Christ. I need to be able to look in that mirror and to see the glory of the Lord. That radiance. That you could see the anointing on somebody. And I've seen it before. And I mean, it wasn't this gold dust that you're talking about, but I mean just a glow on somebody's face that they got so much security, it makes no difference what they face, it's going to be okay. Makes no difference what you face, and you can face it with a whole heart and knowing it's going to be okay. Because my Savior liveth, and He knows me. And not a one of you are in here cannot hide. He knows every name. First name, middle name, last name. He knows your birth. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows how many corns you have on your feet. He knows how many blisters you ever had in your hand. He knows if you got false teeth, bridges, whole teeth. He knows the cavities. He knows everything about you. He knows how they got there and why they got there. We don't know. And there's nothing you can go to God and say, "Do you know?" You ever thought about it? I tried it. Yeah, I know about that. What are you going to do about it? Put it right back on me. Because I was the one that had to conform to His likeness. He wasn't the one that had to conform to me. So when I learned that I needed to conform to Him instead of Him conforming to me, things got a lot easier. A lot easier. I don't know about you, but I feel it. I think so. There's just a refreshing that's going on right now. Lord, refresh them as they're refreshing me. Just breathe in that cool, sweet savor of the Lord right now, Jesus. Just take a deep breath. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Breathe it in right now. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray the Spirit itself touches you. Not man, but the Spirit of God. Let your anointing fall. Let your anointing fall. We thank you, we praise you, Lord. Lord, heal. Lord, heal the back that's aching right now. Lord, heal the anchors that keep. I praise you. Thank you. The shoulders. Lord, break, take the yoke right now off the shoulders. I speak to that yoke. May ye remove. In Jesus' name. Lord, the pressure in the head right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to that pressure. Be ye removed right now. I thank you. I speak peace to you tonight. I praise you, Lord.